Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's program is Bill Connedy, former Senior Vice President of General Electric. He's since served as personal advisor to CEOs of companies around the world. He's co-author with Ram Charan of the book, The Talent Masters, Why Smart Leaders Put People Before Numbers. Bill, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, let's get started with something very fundamental. What makes a talent master?
A talent master is either an individual or a company who sees talent development as a competitive advantage in their business and in their work, not just an addendum to what HR people do. And also is willing to invest the personal time, commitment, and resources to embrace a set of principles that we put forth in the book.
And would you say that talent mastery is extremely important now?
Absolutely. Finding great people, attracting, developing, assessing, and retaining world-class talent is an ongoing job in good times and bad for leaders of companies and corporations in general. It's certainly complicated by the difficult economic times we're going through right now. Companies can afford to be even more selective in the caliber of talent they're bringing into their organization. So it's incumbent on people to be as flexible, adaptable, mobile, and multi-skilled as possible. Their resume looks a lot more attractive when they're able to multi-skill and add value in a lot of different dimensions to a prospective employer. The more multifaceted, multi-skilled individuals can be, the more valuable they're going to be to an organization that has probably cut back 20 or 30% of the employment they would have had in normal economic times.
What is the most important step in developing talent mastery?
Probably most important is a recognition that no talent will yield no numbers. Anyone interested in having a flourishing business that excels financially and delivers results and executes well is going to have the best and brightest people. People create the numbers. If you've got people who are very talented, flexible, adaptable to the difficult times, they become even more valuable to companies who have had to cut back and restructure.
Bill, do you believe in competency modeling?
Yes.
And what are your thoughts on that?
General Electric and other companies that I've worked with have embraced the concept of competency models to at least form a framework for what needs to be done today, as well as trying to anticipate what's going to be occurring in the future. There was a time when there were finite competency models to do a particular body of work. Those still exist. But today, these competency models have evolved in this tougher environment to embrace the concepts of adaptability, flexibility, and multi-skilling. So the more valuable employee is one that can adapt to a number of different competency models.
Okay, here's another question. What exactly is lateral skill development?
The concept of lateral skill development points out the fact that you can't get hung up, especially in this environment, on whether to make a lateral move or promotional move. As long as the lateral move is developmental, it's the right track to be on. And since there's fewer opportunities for big promotions these days, take the opportunity to get on a cross-functional team, do a cross-functional assignment, maybe even a global, diverse kind of assignment, which may not represent a promotion per se, but what it's doing is enhancing your overall skill base and allowing you to position yourself better for the future. So, am I learning? Am I developing? Am I enhancing my skills? That's always been important and probably even more important today.
And I would also think that this is important for those who are not employed, because when they're offered a job, they shouldn't be concerned that it's the next step up. Rather, it's an opportunity that could lead to a better opportunity.
Absolutely. In this environment, it's a matter of presenting yourself well, not getting too focused on what your starting point is, but more focused on what your ending point might be if you have the broad-based skills to make an impact in the organization that you're going to be employed in.
Now, the parallel issue to this is how to bring people on board who can support an organization's future.
The companies that excel here are companies that have a designated set of working values up front, and they try to match the values of the individual with the values of the company when they bring people on board. They have very rigorous talent assessment systems and review processes. They're constantly monitoring and assessing their talent and communicating with that talent, letting the talent know what they see as their particular strengths, what they see as their accomplishments, and more importantly, what they see as their development needs. Pointing out one or two things that individuals could do to enhance or accelerate their ascendancy in the organization is critically important. This is something that requires a lot of candor, a lot of trust within the system, and the great companies do that very well. These companies all believe in the concept of meritocracy. If you truly have a meritocracy and a performance culture, you've got to be able to balance both ends of the spectrum. Treat your highest valued employees with the right kind of care and take action with regard to your less effective employees. So there's consequences that go with that performance culture.
Absolutely. Now, it seems that we always think about senior management influencing talent mastery, but the first line supervisors, the second line managers, all have a role in ensuring that the company truly maximizes its employees.
The whole concept of candor and trust and direct feedback to individuals needs to start at the top with the CEO to his direct reports, and then it needs to move all the way down the line to the first line supervisors and even the individuals that work on the factory floor. People at all levels of the organization have a right to know where they stand in the organization. Are they viewed as top performers? Are they viewed as less effective performers? When you have that kind of candid feedback and trust in the system, you get organizations to really make some headway. So differentiating between your best and your less effective talent will create a meritocracy. If you treat everyone the same, you're going to breed mediocrity. There's more than a subtle difference between the two.
So major responsibility of managers as well as leaders is finding and nurturing those with talent within the organization.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take a look at another issue, and that's succession planning. Given the job market right now, is there such a thing as succession planning?
Definitely. There has been and always will be. You always have to have a succession plan. And it's the great companies that spend time in good times and bad times when it's not apparent that there's a near-term succession that's going to occur and work on it just like something is going to happen. So there's always a contingency plan, an emergency plan if something happens.
Right. Do you have any examples?
I look at McDonald's Corporation as my model company when it comes to CEO succession planning. They went through three CEOs with just terrible situations where the CEO was ill and one died and they had to replace him immediately. They did it. That individual suffered a severe illness and they had to make another change 6 months later, but they were absolutely prepared for the unexpected.
Bill, you were with GE for quite a while and you've worked with a number of companies. What are you proudest of in terms of your working with people?
GE has always had robust talent assessment systems and rigorous processes to attract, develop, assess, and retain world-class talent. It was always a well-regarded, well-respected system, but Jack Welch brought me into the corporate office in the early 90s. He turbocharged and brought candor into that process. What I'm personally most proud of is the fact that we really brought true candor and trust into the system. And the other thing is developing a human resource organization that became part of the whole business partnership in GE. We've always had strong HR organizations in GE, but we really turbocharged that progress in the last 15 plus years. And that continues to excel today.